Morning. Good to be with you again. If you will, open your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20. Our text this morning will be Proverbs 20, verse 12. Proverbs 20, verse 12 says, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye the Lord hath made, even both of them." The hearing ear and the seeing eye, that's the title of my message. Now, the Lord hath made both of them. And that's true physically as well as spiritually. And obviously, I'm here to talk to you about the spiritual ear and the spiritual eye. But first, let's quickly consider the physical hearing ear and seeing eye. Just over 2 months ago, we had a little baby girl born into this world. And we know that God gave her life, and we're so thankful. And I'll just share this with you. Moments after she was born, my eyes saw the most beautiful thing that they've ever seen. They saw my baby's eyes look into the eyes of her mother. Physical sight is truly a wonderful thing. And not only that, I'm so thankful that as our daughter goes through this life, she has the ability to see. I wouldn't want her to not have that ability. Not everybody's born with that ability. And as we get older, that ability gets a little worse and worse, don't it? Well, on the second day of her life, a nurse came in and performed a hearing test, and I had no idea they did that so soon. But it took about 30 or 40 minutes, and then we received the good news that our daughter, not only could she see, but she could hear. I don't know how they could know that so soon, but again, it blessed my heart to know my baby girl can see and my baby girl can hear. What a blessing. That's a physical blessing. Now, as wonderful as that is, to have those physical abilities, neither one of those is necessary for physical life. Many people are born blind. Many people are born deaf. Maybe not many, but some are both. Right? You don't have to have those abilities to be able to live in this world. Now, spiritually speaking, that is just not the case. Spiritually speaking, the hearing ear and the seeing eye are necessary for spiritual life. We will not have spiritual life if we do not have the hearing ear and the seeing eye. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. I want to show you this. Romans chapter 10. Verse 13. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" Verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith comes by hearing. It says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'll tell you what that looks like. Lord, save me. If you will, you can make me clean. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we're not going to call on him in whom we have not believed. And we're not going to believe in him of whom we have not heard. We must hear. Faith comes by hearing. That's the only way faith comes, and we won't be saved without it. That's why this is so important. Salvation is by grace. It's the free sovereign gift of God, and it's through faith. It's the means God has ordained. Believing God, believing his word. We must hear the word of God, and that does not just happen with these physical ears. You don't hear God with the physical ear. God doesn't speak to man like that in our day. There was a time when he did, but he does not. God speaks through his word. And if we're going to hear God speak, here's how it's going to happen. We're going to hear God speak to the heart. God speaks to the heart. I heard this said, salvation is roughly 18 inches. You know, people believe things. You can believe certain doctrines. You can agree with things. But salvation does not take place in the head. Salvation isn't knowing facts. It's knowing Christ. Salvation is believing on Christ. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. True faith occurs in the heart. And true faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Hearing in the heart. I love this. When our Lord saved 3,000 people at Pentecost, it says they heard Peter preach the gospel. They heard him preach the Word of God. This same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. And what it says is they heard this and they were pricked in their heart. That's what I'm talking about. The hearing ear that we must have is a new heart that hears God's Word, truly hears God's Word. And the seeing eye is faith that comes by hearing God's Word. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. Verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Now we're all commanded to hear. We're all commanded to come to Christ, believe on Him. And if we don't, God says we shall not live. Hear and your soul shall live. Come unto me. That's why this is of utmost importance. He that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn back just a few pages to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45, verse 22 says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else." If we do not look to Christ, we will not be saved. Faith looks to Christ. Faith does not look to self. Faith looks outside of self, looks to Him. We sing a song, "My faith looks up to Thee." Faith looks to Christ. We're not going to find any help. We're not going to find any hope in here. It's all in Christ. Faith beholds Him. What did John the Baptist come preaching? He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Quit looking at yourselves. Quit glorying in yourselves. He said, "Who am I? I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. I came to make straight the paths of the Lord. I came to preach Him. He must increase. I must decrease. The Father loves Him. He that hath the Son hath life." You must believe on the Son. Faith beholds Him. He took all our sin away. He nailed it to His cross. It is no more. They're all taken away. Look to Him. Faith looks to Christ and nothing else. Faith reads God's Word. Faith comes here to hear of Him. From Genesis 1:1, where it says, "In the beginning, God," we know that's Christ. All things were made by Him and for Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. It was all made for Him and for His glory. And all through this book, to the very end, Revelation 22:21, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." The revelation of Jesus Christ. He must be revealed. We read it all through the book. Right there in the garden, when God covered Adam and Eve, He covered them with skins. What do we see? We see Christ. Our covering for our sin. Mount Moriah, where God said, God will provide Himself a lamb. That's what Abraham told his son. God will provide Himself a lamb. Christ is that lamb. Noah's Ark, that's God's Ark. It's Christ. And God shut them in. He shut the door and they were saved. It's the only way. And all through this book, it's Christ. on every page. And the natural eye doesn't see it. We're going to look at that in a minute. We don't see that. We don't see Christ, but faith sees Him. And faith has interest in nothing else. Faith is enamored. It's taken up. It's consumed with Him. Only Him. Faith believes the Lord Jesus Christ to be the only hope of salvation. Faith says, I need a hope of salvation. I'm a sinner. I've sinned against God. Faith calls upon Him for salvation. Faith believes Christ is all. He's not the most important thing. He's everything. Christ is all. Naturally, we do not have this faith. We do not have faith in Christ. We do not have a heart that hears God's Word. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2. The truth concerning you and me. I mentioned some people are born physically deaf and physically blind. Some people are born that way. But we're all born spiritually deaf and spiritually blind. There's no exceptions. No exceptions. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. The natural carnal man, all of us, by nature, as we're born into this world, we receive not the things of the Spirit of God. Okay? Now, I looked that up. Here's what that means. Receiveth not. It means to embrace, to receive favorably, to approve of, to make one's own, to give ear to. Now, naturally, we hear God's Word. We certainly do not embrace it. We do not embrace it. We reject it. We do not receive it favorably. We receive it unfavorably. We do not approve of it. We disapprove of it. We do not make it our own. We do not buy the truth. We reject the truth. Everything about the truth, we reject it. We do not give ear to it. And what that means is, the things of the Spirit of God, we will not give ear to them. We will not hear them. We're not interested in hearing. Naturally, we give ear to a lot of things, but all the wrong things. I know it because I consider myself. I give ear to the things concerning the flesh. You tell me something that's going to profit me in this world, I'm all ears. Now, you tell me the truth. How often do we not want to hear the truth? Spiritually, none of us want to hear the truth. We're not interested in it. But by the grace of God, that's all we want to hear. Natural man won't hear it. We reject God. We reject His Word. He sent His only begotten Son into the world. What do? It says we rejected Him. We went our own way. Every one of us turned our own way. We all went astray. He was despised and rejected of men. What do? Do we esteem Him? Do we highly esteem Him? Do we accept Him when everybody else rejected Him? No. He came to His own. They wouldn't receive Him. And you think we would have received Him? Oh, let's not be so foolish. We all rejected Him. Say, well, I wasn't there at the cross. I didn't crucify Him. Yes, we did. The very men that did it, they said, His blood be on us and our children. Who do you think we are? We're children. We're naturally the children of the devil, not the children of God. We don't worship God. We don't believe God. When the gospel is preached, what do? We say that's foolishness. We just read it. It's foolishness unto Him. Foolishness unto all of us. We say, what do you mean God only loves the elect? What do you mean God only loves His people? God loves everyone. God loves you. Jesus died for you. God's waiting for you to accept Him, believe Him. That's a lie. That's handling this book. That's lying on God, lying to the souls of men and women. I know by nature it's a hard saying. We can't hear it. I know that. But that's the only message that's going to save. It's the only message of hope. It's the only message that will do us any good. The gospel is so offensive to the flesh, we even read it, the offense of the cross. When we see ourselves in light of Christ, in light of God's holiness, we see ourselves to be nothing but sin, enmity towards God. It's offensive. It takes the Spirit of God to truly hear it. It's the only way we're going to receive it. Look at verse 14 here again. It says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Not only will we not give ear to God's Word, we can't hear it. We don't have that heart. We have a filthy, evil, corrupt heart of stone, cold, sinful heart that will have nothing to do with God. Nothing to do with Him. We don't have the ability to believe God. And that's the truth. That's what we must declare. We must declare God is holy. We're sinful. We're contrary to God. To be carnally minded, that's us, says death. And that's what we deserve. The wages of sin is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Not getting any better. I can't save myself. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. We must be born again. That's what our Lord told that religious man, Nicodemus, and him. He said, if you want to have anything to do with the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Must be born again. And until we're born again, we're totally lost. Totally lost. Totally separated from God. We have no spiritual knowledge. I didn't show you, but in Isaiah 45, verse 20, it says, "They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save." That's what religion does. Didn't Aaron take some gold and made a calf and they started dancing around that calf? God was not pleased with that. They weren't worshiping God. This world does not worship God. They worship a God of their imaginations, a little g God. Psalm 115 says, their God has a mouth, but it speaks not. Eyes, but they see not. Ears, but they hear not. Noses, but they smell not. Hands they handle not, feet but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. He said, they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. It breaks my heart to think about how many people, I know it's a lot of people because it's all of us by nature, how many people pray, how many people are praying right now unto a little g God that can't save, a God that can't do anything for them. I'm here to declare unto you, like Paul, the unknown God, the God of heaven and earth. In Romans 10, Paul, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." He said, "For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." They're as religious as they could be. I know because I was right there with him. I was their leader. But we must have true spiritual knowledge. That's the knowledge of Christ. Knowing Him. We must know. It doesn't matter how much religion we have if we don't know Him. Religion's not salvation. Christ is salvation. It's all my salvation. Man in his ignorance tries to work his way to heaven. A song I remember growing up, I'd hear it on the radio, "Working Hard to Get to Heaven, Where I Come From." That's where we all came from. We deny the fact that we try to work our way to heaven. We're lying. That's what we all do by nature. But if God doesn't stop us, we will be rejected in that day. "Many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have not we," insert all your wonderful words. He said, "I'm going to say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Whether we like it or not, we must accept the fact that judgment is coming. And you think about the judgment and the justice of this world. Far from justice. It's far from true judgment and justice. But the judge we're going to stand before is the God we've sinned against. Better be careful how we approach Him. We better realize the fact that this judge is a holy judge. He's going to judge righteously. Let me show you something in John chapter 9. Turn with me there, John 9. John 9, verse 39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore your sin remains. Our Lord had just given sight to a blind man. He did it on the Sabbath day. And these Pharisees, these religious men, they tracked that man down. They kept questioning him. Were you really born blind? Did he really give you sight? They even tracked his parents down. Is this your son? Was he born blind? They said, You go ask him. He's old enough to tell you. And then our Lord declared this about judgment. And he said, I came to give sight to the blind. And I came to expose the hypocrisy of religion. Those who think they see. These Pharisees, they thought they saw. They thought they could see just fine. They thought, and other people thought, if anyone's saved, if anyone knows God, it's them. And what our Lord told them, He said, You think you see. The truth is, you're yet in your sin. It's a blessing when God reveals unto us our lost condition. If God's never revealed that to you, I pray He will. It's a blessing when we learn we're lost. If you're not lost, then you haven't been found. Can't be found until you're lost. The Pharisees never knew. They never knew they were lost. They never knew they were blind. Had they known, they would have begged the Lord for sight. They would have begged the Lord for mercy. And the point here is we must come to God as needy, helpless beggars. Not self-sufficient, self-righteous. It's what we all are by nature. Isaiah prophesied, our Lord said, concerning the Pharisees, seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. I can't help but wonder when we sing Amazing Grace, how many people sing that song who've never known themselves to be lost. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Never knew themselves to be blind. I once was blind, but now I see. It takes the Spirit of God to make us see. It takes the Spirit of God to hear this. Hear God's Word. Hear the Gospel preached. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3:17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's all of us. And he's talking about people lost in religion. They have no idea that they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked, lost, dead. Verse 18, look what he said. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. That's Christ. He became poor to make us rich. Gold tried, he was tried in the fire of God's justice, God's wrath on the cross. It goes on, it says, in white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. That's the righteousness of Christ. We must be robed in the righteousness of Christ, or we won't be accepted. It says, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. We need to see. We must see Christ. I urge you, may God cause us to hear the word of the Lord, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If He does, if we find ourselves believing on Christ alone for salvation, all our hope before God, this is certain, we will know God did it. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made both of them. And I love how it tells us that He made both of them. He didn't make one and the other was up to me. He made both of them. See, God gives the heart to hear and God gives the faith to believe. He gives them both. He does it all. I love this. Jeremiah 24 verse 7 says, I will give them a heart to know me. Praise God. That I am the Lord and they shall be my people and I will be their God. That new heart praise God, He's been pleased to take out that old stony heart of flesh and give us a heart of flesh that believes God. Hebrews 12:2 tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is both the author and the finisher of our faith. That means I didn't start it and He finished it, or He started it but then I finished it. I made it effectual. I added this. No. It means by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. From start to finish, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man, me included, me especially, should boast. God starts it, God finishes it. What do we say? Salvation of the Lord. From start to finish. Can't say it enough. Turn with me to Psalm 100. This is a glorious verse. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Don't you love reading that? He made us. He saved us, not we ourselves. It's the only way it could be. A saved sinner is God's creation. He said in Ephesians 2:10, we're His workmanship. God began the good work in us, and He shall perform it until the day and the day of Jesus Christ. Look back just a page at Psalm 98. Verse 1, it says, Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. He hath done marvelous things. He told that Gadarene man possessed by demons. He saved him. He said, you go home and tell everyone what great things the Lord hath done for you. Not here to tell you what you must do. We can do, without Him, we can do nothing. Nothing. I'm here to declare the marvelous things God hath done. Christ, God's right hand, His holy arm, the strength of the Lord hath gotten Him the victory. Praise God. And look at verse 2. It says, The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. In Isaiah 53, Isaiah said, Who hath believed thy report? We preach the gospel. Who believes it? He answered it with the very next question. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? God reveals His salvation. It's the arm of the Lord Christ. He is God's salvation. We just read this. He's God's righteousness. God's revealed His righteousness. That's Christ in the sight of the heathen. That's us. Useless sinners. And praise God, when God purposes to reveal Christ, when He reveals His salvation, that revelation cannot be stopped. His grace is greater than all my sin. I can't stop God. We don't let God. He's God. And when He purposes to do something, it's done. It's done. My counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. The Apostle Paul said concerning his conversion, he said, But when it pleased God, he said, I was lost in religion, the Pharisee of the Pharisees, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law blameless. He said, I was so self-righteous, nobody could stop me but God. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I didn't have to go home and pray about it. I didn't have to stop and think about it. Well, let's see here. Is it really worth it? What did Christ tell him when He spoke to him from heaven? He said, I'm going to tell him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He said, when God called me, there was no stopping it. God calls you. You're saved. He calls us with a holy calling. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. When He called His disciples, they were out fishing in the boat, and He said, follow me. I suppose He had been a stranger to them until that point. Have no reason to think otherwise. And He said, follow me. Immediately, they left the ship and everything in the ship, and they followed Him. That's how it works. Praise God for His calling. Can't be stopped. Not even I can stop it in all my sin. My sin's not too great for me. Praise the Lord. Well, how does God call His people? I just said He says follow me. Well, how does He do that? by the preaching of the gospel, by the preaching of the Word of God. That's why we preach the Word of God. In 2 Thessalonians 2, we read, "I bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel." That's how He does it. To the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, He calls us by His gospel. And when He calls us, we come. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Today I must abide at thy house. I pray it so for us. Let me show you one more thing. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Paul said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That's why we preach Christ. That's why Paul said, "I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The power of God unto salvation." That's what this gospel is. The power of God unto salvation. God has been pleased to use His gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ, to call His people out of spiritual darkness into His marvelous light. And that's Christ. I love what He said in Isaiah 55 concerning His Word. He said, "My Word shall not return unto me void." God sends His Word to pierce a sinner's heart. It's not going to return void. He said, "It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." You mean God would purpose on any given day, any given worship service, to send His Word to prick someone's heart for the first time or for the millionth time? Yeah. That's what He says He's been pleased to do. That's how salvation comes to a sinner. Not something we do. We just sit here and try to distract ourselves and not pay attention, and then next thing you know, God's shining the light. Has that been your experience? That's been mine. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, why do some believe and some don't believe? I just said it's not us. God commands the light shine. And when God, we're commanded to believe. But we're not going to believe until God says, "Let there be light." And praise God, when He says, "Let there be light," there's light. We see Christ. We hear Christ. "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him." We hear Him. We see Him. We hear nothing else. Don't tell me anything else. Don't. If we ever see Christ, we'll hope in nothing else. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Christ is all. Has Christ been revealed to you? Has Christ been revealed to you? Have you beheld His glory? John said He's full of grace and truth. Oh, to behold Him. Can we say with David, "The Lord is my light and my salvation"? Oh, I pray we can. Can we say with Paul, "Christ is all. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. To be with Him, far better." If so, thanks be to God. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made both of them. May God be pleased to do that for us. May God be pleased to open our blind eyes and unstop our deaf ears, quicken us and give us a heart to believe on Christ, look to Him alone for salvation complete. Amen.